It is your gay country boy, Wes, coming to you from my recording studio slash office. It is Thursday, October 9th. In this day of absolute shit show in the United States, I haven't really been motivated, I guess you could say, to record anything. I am a Sagittarius. I am known to be very opinionated, and I am just like everybody else, I think, in the United States at this point. I just don't fucking like what's going on. At the same time, when you've got people who are losing their jobs just for saying something that they believe, because God forbid we have an opinion about someone getting plowed down, it's a really bad time in the United States at this moment. And it's been weighing heavily on my mind of if I feel like it's even beneficial to record. When it gets to a point where you have to talk to your priest because things are just weighing it very, very heavily on your mind, I think that's saying something. It feels like this year has been so god-awful long since January 20th. I feel like I wake up every morning and, yeah, either the sun is shining or it's another fucking cloudy day in the suburbs of North Atlanta. I can't even put my brain into focus at the moment. It has rained so much this year. Not so much lately, but by like the middle of September, end of August, I guess, it felt like it had rained every single day near where I live. And I do live very close to Lake Lanier, so I have a huge body of water, and it's really great when that body of water is at full pool. When I've been going across the dam recently, it's not. It is actually around 1067, I think it was, the last time I saw it. And full pool is around 1070, 1071. That's 1,071 feet. I don't know. Now that it has gotten into fall, it's not raining that much. I think it did rain the other night and got everything wet so that we couldn't blow leaves out of the yard. But, you know, que sera, sera. What have I been doing lately? Traveling, working. I'm going to be doing more traveling this coming week. It is Pride weekend in Atlanta. Woo! I would totally rather be either in the mountains or at the beach. It is what it is. I would actually really love to be on a trip to Mobile. That would be really good. I would feel so good. The bars down there just, I don't know, they're different. And I love the way they feel. It's almost like, hey, you just walked into a gay bar and you felt welcome. Shocking. Groundbreaking. So, I don't know. I'll probably end up going out Saturday at some point to the park. I most likely will not be going to a bar either Friday night or Saturday night, because that is something that you, if you've lived in Atlanta long enough, you know damn well that you probably won't even get through the front door of the bar. There will be a line. At the Old Eagle, when it was Pride, you could show up. If number one, it was better to get an Uber there because you probably weren't going to get a parking space unless you arrived at like 7 o'clock in the evening. But they would have to set a bar up in the parking lot because the bar would be too full. The back patio and back porch would be full. And so you would just have to stay out in the parking lot and hang with your friends and drink beer from the bar that they set up out there. I think that's insane. And with more bars these days charging cover just to get inside the bar, I'm like, I know that we need our gay spaces, but am I willing to pay as much as you're wanting just to get in the door of your establishment? And I call me a gay curmudgeon, but I don't think I will be paying that much to get into your establishment. But anyway, we'll see. Hopefully I can get the other half on a recording at some point in time. We had been talking about it and we just never sit down and actually do it. I'm doing it right now, because he's not here. He's out at some birthday dinner for a coworker. So yay. Things that I have been doing lately: reading comic books. I enjoy comic books. I know that they are, to many people, a dying trend. I have my favorites. I've been reading Exquisite Corpses. It's a Image comic book. It's really good. It's some people would probably think that it's weird. It's in the thought process that families from the original colonies still hold a lot of power in our country. And ever so often they will get together and each family will have their hit person. And they will just take over a town, cut off all communications outside of town. And these hit people will be let loose in this town. And they kind of have like tote boards and they keep track of the murders and stuff. And in the back of each episode, there's like a bracket of who has survived and who's been picked off. And if you don't know me, which most people listening don't, if you knew me well enough, you would know that my taste in comic books are very twisted. One of my favorite comic books ever is called Crossed. It's kind of like The Walking Dead, except for you don't have to die to become crossed. You just have a very sick thought or something happens to you and you develop this red bloody cross across your face. And yeah, some really sick twisted shit happens to you. The next comic book is called Sleep. Confusing. Very confusing. It's drawn in black and white. And this kind of nerdy guy is like the main character of it. And in most of the pictures, there's at least something that is colored in red. Maybe it's his glasses or a telephone or a book, something. And in my understanding from the writer and the graphic artist, the red items in the pictures are supposed to be tied together somehow. Each night, this guy turns into something. He doesn't know what it is. He just wakes up in the morning and he is in some state of dishevelment, and damage or death, or both is surrounding him. So the mystery is, you know, have no idea. So I guess in a couple of issues we will see. The next one is called Hello Darkness, and I really love the way that it's written. It's kind of like those of us who are of a certain age grew up buying Cracked and Mad magazine, and you know those magazines were made up of individual like comic strips and maybe little things thrown in there, like maybe one page is just a comic strip, kind of like the criminals, the black and white criminals. They had the like triagonal faces or bodies and stuff, and they were like set off bombs around each other, kind of like that. And each one of the stories in each of the issues is like a dark comic. I really love it. It's really great. If you also know me, you know that my favorite superhero is Green Lantern. To me, Superman, Batman, all of those mean absolutely nothing. And the only reason I like Wonder Woman is because, hello, I'm gay. But to me, if it were not for the Green Lantern Corps and the little men, the Guardians, the universe wouldn't exist. So, yeah. And so there's a series called Green Lantern Dark. And it is dark. It's so not the normal Green Lantern feel. It's different. And the enemy is different. It's almost like Earth has disintegrated to a darkness. And it's just very weird. I can't even explain it because after like five or six episodes, not episodes, issues, it hasn't really fit together. I'm at a loss. I don't know. Then there is one called The War, and I found out about The War because it is one of the short comic series inside of Hello Darkness. There are a couple of strips in Hello Darkness that go for more than one issue. The idea behind it, there's only been two issues created so far. But you can tell that the comic is centered around all of this shit that's happening between Russia and Ukraine. And the unthinkable that a lot of people think could happen at some point in time. I'll back it up. if you are a person of a certain age, again, you remember what it was like during the Cold War. The Cold War ended in 1989, and the Berlin Wall fell, and shortly after that, the USSR collapsed. But I started elementary school in 1984. And it was always this dark, like, cloud hanging over everything. And every time you turned around, Russia was just, like, evil. And nobody knows what Russia's going to do. And you know, if you're old as my parents and Big Fatty, then you remember what it was like when kids were having to go through bomb drills. Like, if a bomb was dropped, what do you do if you're at school? And, you know, it was either, well, mostly you, like, pray your heart out that your school doesn't get blown down by the strength of the bomb, or go up in hellacious flames. Basically, I think they had to get under their desk if they could, or like bend over and put their heads next to the walls and cover them up. And yeah. And so anyway, a bomb gets dropped in a major U.S. city in this comic book, and some of our characters survive. Some of them don't. I know two of them got out of the city, and they're out in a cabin in the woods somewhere. But I know that two of them were standing outside. Actually, they were walking back into the city when the bomb fell, and one of the frames of the comic is this really bright light that is shining through their bodies. Look up a movie called The Day After. Not The Day After Tomorrow, that had Jake Gyllenhaal in it, where the United States basically got frozen by a second ice age. But The Day After was a movie, a made-for-television movie made back in the early 80s. The old guy from Northern Exposure, and I can't remember the other people. But anyway, it was Russia dropped multiple nuclear bombs on Oklahoma City. And the graphics of that movie terrified a lot of kids that were my age. My parents would not let me and my sister watch it. So some parents were like, sure, you can watch that movie. And they were absolutely fucking like screwed up after that. The last new comic book that I'm reading is called Blood Type, and it's about a vampire. It's about these people who are basically looking for a vampire to drain their blood and basically become, like, if you want to say super vampires, sure. The last issue, I think, was number 4, and I think you learned a lot more about the characters in that one, and that was kind of one of the ideas laid out. Another one that I was able to buy all the issues in the comic at one time, it's called Prodigy. I have not been able to read that one yet. That's another Image comic book. Hopefully I can get to reading that one soon. I was going through my comic collection, and I noticed that back in the 20-teens at some point, I had started collecting Afterlife with Archie. It was a series that they did. It was very dark, zombies, all that kind of stuff. And I had only, I think I had like issues 1 through 6 or 1 through 5. And luckily, I was able to go on eBay and find the rest of them. There were 10 of them all together. And so I've read 5 of them. And now I'm just trying to catch up. Oh, there's one more new comic book. It's called The New History of DC. And it's a really cool kind of encyclopedic, if that's a word, of the DC universe. I've really enjoyed it. I have, I think 3 issues have come out, and I think it's, I want to say there's only four issues that are going to come out. And so the next issue should get us up to the current timeline of DC, which I'm totally fucked with. I have no idea. The last full series of the Green Lantern comic books that I have is the New 52. And so I have the regular Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, the New Guardians, the Red Lantern Corps, and Sinestro. And after that, they did some little series that I don't even remember. Convergence, I think it was. And to me, Convergence didn't really hit, I guess you could say. I want to say they did a Rebirth after New 52 as well. And now there's some like really fucked up absolute DC thing going on that I have no idea, and I haven't even bothered buying any of them. I have stuck with my dark, bloody, evil comics, and it has made me happy. It has fulfilled a need. Yeah. So, that's my new comic book stuff. I have started doing more hobbies. If you happen to follow my blog, if you do, thank you so much. I have started endeavoring or digging into cheese making. I know, weird, right? And I have really started enjoying it. Like I definitely want to do more experimentation with it. The only thing that I've done so far is make what they call farmer's cheese. And it's extremely easy. Like I wrote all about it in my latest blog post. But you get a gallon of whole milk, not ultra pasteurized. That won't work correctly. But get a gallon of whole milk, and you put it into a large boiler, and you heat it to 190 degrees. So water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. But you don't want it to boil. You really don't want to get it that hot. And you want to stir it very regularly, because whole milk is thicker and it will cause, the heat will cause some of the curds and stuff to stick to the bottom. And you don't want that. It's not because it's a pain in the ass to clean. It's just because, you know, you want all the stuff to be free to turn into curds when it separates. But anyway, once you get it up to 190 degrees, you take it off the heat, and you pour in either a half cup of white vinegar or some preferably freshly squeezed lemon juice. You also can get what is called rennet. You can find it on Amazon. I think there's animal rennet and there may be vegetable rennet or whatever. Anyway, I haven't tried the rennet yet. I've only done the vinegar and the lemon juice. And as you may already think, the lemon juice makes it more tasty. If you have a very, very delicate sense of taste, you might be able to taste the vinegar. I couldn't. I really couldn't. But I did taste a little tinge of lemon by using the lemon juice. Now, if you've... anyway, let's go back. So once you pour that into the 190 degree whole milk, you let it set there for about 20 minutes. Just cover the boiler, let it set there for 20 minutes, let it do its job. After 20 minutes, uncover the boiler and stir what's inside, and you will see that the curd has separated from the whey. And it leaves this like yellowish liquid. And so have a strainer lined with cheesecloth, not the cheap big hole cheesecloth. You can find like a 90 or 100 grade cheesecloth on Amazon. I got the 100 grade and it works great. But anyway, you pour the mixture from the boiler into the colander lined with the cheesecloth, and the whey strains down through. It's good to have it on top of a bucket or another boiler, just whichever. My colander will sit on a on a bucket that I found in the mop section of my grocery store. You just let it sit there. And once a lot of the whey has strained off, you use either sea salt or kosher salt, or I used the pink Himalayan salt in a grinder. And you put a bunch of salt on the top, and you stir it up in the colander, and then I put more salt in it. It doesn't make it extra salty. You do not want to use iodized salt, like table salt. That will mess it up. So once it sat there for a bit, you can pick up the four corners of the cheesecloth, and remember, this is still hot. So it's still, the curds, the whey has strained through, the whey is liquid, it's in the bucket, it has more room to spread out and cool down. The curds are solids, and they're still going to be close to 190, maybe down to 170. So that you don't burn yourself, you don't want to just grab it and start squeezing. Unless you have some gloves on, like if you have some, what are those things that I have for the Blackstone? Is it nitrile? No. Like thick gloves. If you have those, sure, you can go ahead and do it. But what I saw in the video is the lady took a long wooden spoon and she took the corners of the cheesecloth and she tied them around the wooden spoon and laid them on top of the bucket so that the gravity would help push out some of the or more of the whey. I only did it the first time. I only did it about 2 hours. The second time I made it with lemon juice. But talking with my aunt-in-law, she told me that she went to a cheese making class and they let it hang like overnight. And so I was like, sure, I can do that. I didn't see much difference, but I don't know. I've seen a cheese press on Amazon that I want to get. It's like $70-something, but it's very. It seems to be very well built, and it has a like a what is that thing? If you've ever seen a brace in a workshop, and you twirl it, and it makes the brace get either it closes or opens up. That's what it does. It has that kind of mechanism and it pushes down on the cheese. I think you can also make tofu in it because that's kind of the same principle when you're making tofu. You're pressing the water out of it to get the block of tofu. So anyway, texture. The texture of farmer's cheese is a lot like feta. Feta is pretty dry, if I remember correctly, the last time I had it. This is not as dry. It does have kind of a more watery, squishy texture. If you put it between your fingers, you can definitely smush it. Just breaking it off of the batch that you make and just crumble it over the top of salads or something like that. It was really good. I really enjoyed eating it. And I really like the taste of this new batch made from lemon juice. Susie Homemaker. I have a blanket that I started quite a while ago. And I guess the idea in my head was smaller than the actual blanket was going to turn out to be. I haven't touched it in a while because it just got to the point where I was like, oh my God, this is going to be ginormous. And it's being made corner to corner. So it started out from like this one little block and it grew enormously and I'm not even halfway. So by the time I get through with it, it should easily cover my queen size bed. So yeah, oh my God. So that's been me. I'm here. The last episode that I recorded, I mentioned that I was going to talk about where I came from. And I have been thinking it out. I've been rolling it around in my noggin. I don't want to do a shit job. And so I didn't want to jump into it. And I'm also trying to figure out how far back I want to go. I could go back very far. The state of Alabama and most of the low-lying areas, the lower south of the United States, was covered in water for thousands of years. That's why you can go to Washington, D.C., to the Smithsonian, and there is a creature there called the Bacillosaur, and it was found on the banks of the Alabama River. And when they found the bones, they reached out to other people in the area, and people realized that these white, hard things that they thought were round rocks that were holding the wood up in their fireplaces, those were not rocks. Those were actually parts of a Bacillosaur spine. So, yes, and because of the large quantities of limestone and salt and stuff that you can find in the lower parts of Clark County and the northern parts of Washington County, yeah, it was all left there when the waters receded and the land was exposed. There's just, I could go back so far, and I'm just trying to wrangle in my mind how far back that I'm just, that I am willing to go. So if you would like, go over to the website. It's up and running again. It's thegaycountryboy.com. If you want to, you can also leave a message at 678-765-9776. Once again, that's 678-765-9776. Or if you don't want to leave a message like that, you can always record it and you can... You can send it to Wes at thegaycountryboy.com. And, you know, I'd love to hear from you if you want to, if you would like to reach out. It always sounds great when I hear someone who is listening. So I will shut up for now, and hopefully I can make another episode soon. And... you all have a great evening, a great rest of the week, and just love people and love yourself. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.